from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
One of our listeners is offering up brisket mac and cheese for breakfast on the text page, and now I'm hungry. Ugh. That sounds so good. Brisket mac and cheese.
Brisket mac and cheese for breakfast?
Ooh, well, yeah. Any time of day. Scare me with a good time.
Dude, my 1800 calorie a day streak might take a hit on tomorrow.
Oh, it's a big day for you tomorrow. The first day in the press box since you're...
I'm out there, and I smell the barbecue all morning long.
Yeah.
While we're doing the pregame show. I have the brisket barbecue and the barbecue and everything else wafting over us.
Yes,
it's going to take a lot of. It's going to take a. You're under a lot of pressure, Sean, because you know I'll blame you if I break.
That, dude, I was just about to ask you. We'll get into ceiling and the floor for the Texans in a second, but this is important. I was going to ask you, what do you need from me as your friend? What do you need from me tomorrow?
It's a tough one. You might have to call up Brandy on this one. Because Brandy is the person that most often has to feel the brunt of me asking her to help me with something in terms of personal discipline.
That's okay.
And then me lashing out at her when she does exactly what I asked her
to
do.
That's okay.
So, I don't know. Yeah, you got to be mentally tough like Brandy.
Okay.
Hey, Brandy, be sure I don't eat dessert tonight, okay? Fast forward 90 minutes, and I'm glaring at Brandy. Like, if I want bread, I'm a full-grown man. If I want bread pudding, I'm going to have some damn bread pudding. Dude, why are you trying to control me, woman?
Yes, and call me woman tomorrow when you do it. That would be really funny.
No, tomorrow will be a 3,000 calorie day.
Yeah,
you know, that's when I start to feel a little bit like lagging, or if it's too much work, I go up to 3,000 calories.
Yeah,
so it'll be a 3,000 calorie day tomorrow.
It's impossible to overstate just how much temptation exists in that press box.
Yeah.
Especially for you. You like sweets more than I do, I think. They put some really sweet treats up there.
I've ironed that out of me for the most part.
Have you?
Like, I just know. I know I treat sweets like cocaine. Which is that I only do it every now and then. No, I treat it like cocaine. In that, like, if you're a coke addict and you have one little sniff of coke, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah,
I know that I have no capacity for moderation with sweets.
Okay,
so that's the only thing. Honestly, the calories per day is super easy for me. I can glide on through that. I don't mind. My high school wrestling days have taught me not to mind the hunger as much.
Okay,
but if I get a taste of that sweet, sweet, literally sweet nectar, I'll binge. So I just don't. That's the one thing I abstain from.
Okay,
I don't eat sweets for the hardly ever anymore.
Okay, so that feels like the answer to my question, which is, where do you need me to help you? If I see you go grab like an ice cream sandwich out of the bin,
right.
I have to.
I might
run
as
up
well
and,
be grabbing 17 ice cream sandwiches.
Right, I have to walk up and slap it out of your hands.
Yeah, you need to check me into a facility.
Yeah,
is what you have to do at that point.
Sorry, guys, I gotta go. Like, Sean, you got to do the post game. Nope,
You'd be like, hey, Seth, let's go for a walk in the park. And I'm like, okay, okay. And I'll be in the car, and I'm like, which park are we going to? Which park are we going to? And then all of a sudden, you roll up to the rehab facility.
Right, at the very last minute, you're like, this is not the park. This is not the park at all. All right, ceiling in the floor for the Texans. ESPN did the ceiling in the floor for all 32 teams. This is the prism I like looking at things through sometimes. Like, what's the best-case scenario? What's the worst-case scenario? They've got the ceiling and the floor for the Texans, Seth. Ceiling, I think I agree with this too. Ceiling 12-5. Floor 7-10 for this team. So, and this assumes, obviously, health for the quarter. Like, you know, CJ Stroud gets hurt, then, you know, all bets are off. But ceiling for the team 12-5. Floor for the team as comprised with CJ Stroud and with the, you know, a relative number of injuries, probably 7-10. Are you which is more likely to you, 12-5 or 7-10?
I think 12-5 is actually more likely, and I'll try to be as unbiased as possible as I thought my way through this. But you know, like, look, in any given NFL season, if a team is a, let's say that they're at its core, if you could figure something out like this out, they're a 10-7 team, then it's very possible that they win 13 games, very possible that they win 7 games based on just a flip of a coin in a few different games. I do think that I believe in D'Amico Ryans as a football coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, almost in the same way that somebody like Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh is going to get, at the very least, a 500 caliber effort out of a team, no matter how it looks on paper, no matter who their quarterback is. Like, D'Amico doesn't have the excuse of quarterback issues.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the excuse of Ben Roethlisberger's getting old or something like that.
Yep.
And I think the defense, especially given D'Amico's forte and that they bolstered it, should be better this year. So I'm not as scared of the tougher schedule, which, you know, we'll probably, I mean, some of the stalwarts we're looking at on the schedule right now are going to have quarterback injuries or what have you by the end of the day. So I would say it's more likely they go 12-5 than 7-10.
I'm with you on 12-5. They have the biggest X factor in here, and DJ Bienemé, who did the blurb on this for ESPN, said that his biggest X factor is health of the offensive line, which is a big thing they dealt with last year. Still managed to go 10-7. He says this, health up front could be pivotal as left tackle Laremy Tunsil hasn't practiced all camp as he recovers from offseason knee surgery. He is back now. We should point that out. Tunsil is the Texans' best O-lineman, but more importantly, he's next to third-year left guard Kenyon Green, who's next to second-year center Juice Scruggs.
Yeah.
Tunsil's veteran presence helps anchor the youth. If Tunsil misses significant time, it's rookie Blake Fisher who would replace him, and now all of a sudden you've got a really young left side of the offensive line.
That's one of the biggest uncomfortable question marks about the season is the fact that you've got two offensive tackles who are not the most physically durable dudes. That the potential for one of those guys to miss time is pretty big. And I just want to, hopefully if it does happen, it happens in the second half of the season after Blake Fisher has really started to come along. Because I like his potential.
Yeah.
I think he's got kind of a swarm mindset. Mm-hmm. I think he's very athletic. There's nothing about him athletically that I worry about. It's really him just being as a taller guy, being able to really learn how to anchor down versus NFL pass rushers. And because he can keep up with them athletically, but he's got to be able to both use that athleticism but also anchor down against bull rushes and power moves. And that's where he's struggling some now. You see this all the time with guys that are taller. Sometimes they figure it out in the first few weeks of training camp. Sometimes it takes them a year or two to figure it out. So if it happens in the second half of the season, I won't be as worried about it as I would be in week one.
Yeah. I think
the other thing too about the floor and the ceiling, like a lot of, again, people go back to last year. They'll forget that they're talking about this year's team. They'll go back to last year and say, well, hey, the Texans, you know, they were really good in one score games, which are basically a coin toss statistically.
Yep.
Was it 7-1?
They were 7-3 overall in one score game.
7-3 and one win. So, okay. So if they had gone 500 in their one win games, they're still a 8-win football team last year.
Yeah.
You know, which was an improvement.
Huge.
And then they've improved the team since then. So that I'm not as worried about the one score games last year. If the Texans had won eight games last year, we would still be in the offseason looking at it as like, wow, man, they really improved a lot, really good with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
They'd be like the Lions were when they got they clawed the first of their comeback. They clawed back to like 500 that
they
year,
went from
right?
a 3-win team Campbell's and Goff's first year to a 9-win team. They went 9 and 8 and missed the playoffs. And then they had last year. They make the NFC title game.
So basically that would have been, I think they still would have gotten the treatment the Lions did, which is like, oh, wow, this team might actually be on the verge of something.
Lions were 9-8, and they were in the Thursday night football game to open the season the next year against the Kansas City Chiefs. That goes to show you what people were thinking of the Lions, even having not made the playoffs the year before. My biggest X factor is the linebackers, in part because Christian Harris hasn't practiced yet, so it's more of a short-term X factor. But there's no depth at that position that I feel great about right now. Like, Henry Toa is getting treated like he's a five-year vet in this training camp, you know, in terms of how people are talking about him. He was one of the guys that got to wear his nice, clean, white T-shirt at the Hall of Fame game and not have to suit up for that game. And there's not been a ton that's gone on with the guys behind Azeez Alshire that makes me feel comfortable with that position. And you pointed this out many times, Seth. In this defense, I know D'Amico looks at the defensive line as the engine that makes the whole thing go, but you need reliable linebackers if you're letting all of those guys, you know, if you're letting the defensive linemen kind of do their thing, you need reliable linebackers. And I just, that's the X factor for me. I don't think it's a deep position, and I know how important that position. I feel great about Azeez Alshire early on, but overall, the position, I'm a little nervous about it.
Christian Harris's health, and then Henry Toa, who I think is moving different in a good way athletically this year. It looks like he's slimmed down a little bit. His face looks leaner, and you know, he's not as obvious a difference as, like, say, a Kenyon Green or something.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of things about him last year where he played like a rookie linebacker. And what I feared was, all right, man, I've seen this before. Off-ball linebackers who play on dominant defenses in college, but they're not necessarily all that athletic. It shows up when they're out there versus NFL caliber athletes, and it looked like that a little bit. I think he's looked better so far this preseason. It's tough because he's in a linebacker's room where there are a lot of guys who are really, really athletic, but also not necessarily really good linebackers. So on the field, like Jake Hansen, I think, is a better overall athlete than Toa, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily a better linebacker.
Yeah.
He's not as big, and then instinct and football IQ comes into it so much at off-ball linebacker. So I'm waiting to see. Waiting to see. I thought he moved around pretty well in the game the other night and didn't have a whole lot of opportunities, but if he gets to play a full half here, I'm excited to see what the outcome is.
Remember when Nick Caserio was on with us not even during training camp yet in Toa's rookie year, but it was like during OTAs and minicamp, and he was in studio with us. Nick was, I remember it, and he brought up, like, unprompted, brought up Toa's instincts. You know, his ability to recognize run and pass and things like that. So that stuff's there. You know, hopefully the physical part at least starts to close the gap a little bit with Toa.
Were you going to play some of the Azeez Alshire?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I was going to do right now. Azeez Alshire met with the media yesterday. Nice segue. He talked about, this is actually kind of funny, he talked about what he's seen so far in Henry Toa.
Oh, man, Henry. Like, I talked to him when I first got here, him, Christian Harris as well. You know, like, just being young guys, trying to figure your way out. Like, the first couple times talking to him, you can tell he didn't really have too much confidence. Like, man, yeah, I tried a little bit. I thought I was doing good a little bit. But it's like letting him know, like, bro, you put some really good stuff on tape, you know, and just knowing what it was like having to be in this scheme as a rookie, you know, for him last year, and seeing some of the plays he was able to make, like, he made some really good plays. Like, and so I think, for me, now being around him, it's just more so like validating what he did that was good, showing him the things that I know that I've learned over the last 4 or 5 years of playing this game. And I think from where he was from the first day of OTAs to where he is right now, it's just like grown so much. And it's really exciting for me, and I'm sure this entire team, to see just the growth that he's been having in the last couple months or so.
Did the the voice thing is actually relevant. There's a lot of players that their voice drops in their second season. They put some bass in their voice.
Really?
Like with the confidence. Once you're kind of timid, especially sometimes guys that are, you know, like Henry Toa seems like a really good kid and everything, and you want to be, you know, you don't want to, you want to know your role and everything. And then once the confidence starts to grow, you drop your voice. Boy, I remember Chris Hudson saying this to me. So Chris Hudson was a free safety who was on the team my rookie year. He's from Houston. Whenever I bring up Chris Hudson, somebody gushes about him on the text line because he's an awesome dude. But I remember him talking to me in the weight room one day. He's like, yeah, Seth, man, it's funny. You rookies, you guys are all soft-spoken your second year and everything. Now you got some bass in your voice.
Yeah.
And, I think Toa maybe he's got a little bit more bass in his voice right
maybe.
Now.
Maybe. I just thought, I didn't even know if it was bass in his voice. He made it sound like Toa was like crying about it almost.
I tried a little bit. I thought I was doing good a little bit.
Play it one more time. One more.
Man, yeah, I tried a little bit. I thought I was doing good a little bit, but
made me laugh.
I tried. When I was out there, I tried.
Tomiko yelled at me
so much.
Tomiko yelled at me, and it was a long year for me after that.
I was waiting for that part of it. I thought I did some good things, but then in the meetings on Monday, Coach said it wasn't so good after all. I came in and I thought I was going to get praised, and it wasn't praised. Didn't feel like praise.
Dude, Aziz is a good quote, man. We've got more. We can get to it later in the show. We're kind of up against it here, but
he's another one that's wise beyond his years. He had a rough go of it growing up.
Homeless for a while.
Yeah, like living under a bridge homeless.
Yeah.
Like not just homeless, I had to spend a few nights in my car. It was in a different school every year of his school and career until high school. Yeah, and then but it's not like he's saying it as a woe is me type thing. It's just explaining, you know, kind of, he's a very positive and upbeat guy who also appreciates like that everybody else has struggles too.
Yeah.
Like he's not trying to trump you on his struggles or anything like that. He's a really interesting guy.
Put it this way, you can totally see maybe of all the guys they signed this offseason or traded for, you can see why D'Amico Ryans loves this guy so much, you know?
They came in together.
Yeah, they did.
It was, I think D'Amico's first year as a position coach was, that was a little off.
No, I think you're right about that. 2019, I think, is when D'Amico got, I think he was a quality control coach 17 and 18.
Okay.
I think he was a linebacker coach. You may be right.
I think it does match up because Fred Warner's first year, Fred Warner got drafted the same year. No, Dre Greenlaw, whatever. Anyway, right around the same time, they were kind of a young coach and young undrafted rookie free agent linebacker. They kind of grew together in the scheme.
And D'Amico wanted him. Like when they were asking D'Amico, you know, they asked in San Francisco, they were looking for input from position coaches and other guys, and D'Amico really liked Aziz Alshire, and they signed him as an undrafted free agent. And 5 years later, here we are. Speaking of five, let's do this. Even radio hosts have to get into midseason form here during training camp. We do this during the season. This is an easy one to do. It's the New York Giants. We call it Five Reasons I Hate You. Five Reasons I Hate You for the Texans' opponent this weekend. New York Giants edition is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, text message. So are you and Seth only going to do the first quarter of the pregame show since it's preseason, and then the backup hosts will be in there after
the first
quarter?
They might do the first half. They might keep us in for the first half. If the first quarter is really good, they'll probably pull us.
Right.
So they'll go in there and get a few good segments in and be like, all right, we've seen. We don't need to risk a vocal cord injury.
Right.
Or dehydration,
that,
more likely.
That tickled me. That tickled me a lot. All right.
Real quick,
yeah.
It's one of the best things that this career gets me out of is helping my father-in-law stack hay. I get hay fever, and then if I get hay fever and I get it screws up my voice.
Yeah,
it's just a bad word there because it really messes up my voice.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I'm sorry, Fred. I'd love to stack hay all afternoon, but you know, got to take care of your daughter. Sorry.
Like, hey, man, she's got a lifestyle that I've got to upkeep, okay?
Yeah. All right.
And only by baking.
I can't live that hay life.
That's right. All right, let's do this. We do it every Friday before a Texans game, and it's preseason for us, too, so let's get in midseason form. 5 reasons I hate you. We find reasons both having to do with the team, the market, whatever. Anything that riles up animus. For the opponent, this weekend is the New York Giants. We start with reason number 5 why I hate the New York Giants. Their owner, John Mara's mopey ass. That's why I hate him. Hard Knocks offseason. One of the key players in that 5-episode series was their owner, who could not strike you as less of a captain of industry. Here is John Mara in GM Joe Shane's office, wringing his hands over the fact that Saquon Barkley might not be a New York Giant anymore. John Mara's voice is the first one you're going to hear.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm.
Which I don't know. I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen. But
I have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philly. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being honest. I have been around enough players, but he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
I can't, man. I'm not going to ask anybody to go back and watch the whole offseason Hard Knocks, but if John Mara watched that and didn't realize how much he was being treated by like a doofus by Joe Shane. Because Joe Shane, in that series, Joe Shane is actively trying to convince everybody in the organization that Saquon Barkley isn't worth the money and that he's not going to get any offers anywhere else because he's an aging running back and all these things. It could not be more clear that Joe Shane didn't expect nor even want Saquon Barkley back on the team. But every time he talked to John Mara, it was a lot of like, well, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll try. It was like he was just trying to soft pedal it and make a show of that. Yeah, we'd love to keep him, but it might not work out that way. And then even that, do you think that Joe Shane actually got a text that said that Chicago is driving the price up and that Philly was out? Because obviously that was false.
I hadn't even thought of that, but now that you bring it up, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Do you remember that being reported? Because usually when guys get that, it's from one of the national reporters.
I don't ever remember hearing that Philly was out on Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that made me skeptical of like, all right, wait a second.
Especially his tone, too. He's like, well, I'm hearing, you know. Hey, Ben, play the beginning one more time of that.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, he's faking it.
That sounds like a shyster.
He's faking it. You're so right.
How slick he sounded. Hey, just got a text. Dude. Hey, he's a hot. Okay. Hey, it sounds like the price is going up. Going up, 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 up. Hey. I don't know if we're going to be able to afford this, John.
Dude, who's mopier, John Mara or Aziz Alshire's Henry Toa Toa voice?
I don't know, honey. I'd really like it if you wouldn't hang out with your ex-boyfriend so much.
Dude.
I know that you have to have a business relationship with, but do you have to go? Do you have to share a hotel room on business trips? I just don't know about this.
You're my most popular wife. I don't want to lose you.
I just, you know, sometimes a fella thinks.
If you go to the Eagles.
I know you're trying to win a Super Bowl, but did you know that Saquon Barkley's our most popular player?
I could do this all day. We got to do four more of these. All right. Four more reasons I hate you. These are five reasons I hate you, New York Giants. Number five, John Mara's mopey ass. Number four, Eli Manning's Hall of Fame candidacy. The fact that Eli Manning is viewed, and he's eligible next year, and I'm already hearing it, like that he's the headliner in this class. He won two Super Bowls and beat Tom Brady. I know this. You don't need to point this out to me. What I will point out to those of you who want him in there, he is a career record of 117 and 117. He is a 500 quarterback for his career. Exactly, and he was not good. He was a four-time Pro Bowler, a none-time All-Pro, never got any MVP votes, was never... I don't know that Eli was ever even a top, 10 quarterback consistently, let alone a top 5 quarterback, which I think you need to be consistently...
He was Robert Horry. He's Robert, you know, except not
kind
as
of
many,
in that, but he's in that category of...
Yeah, without his prolific a number of championships.
Yeah, but that corner, that... Make a wing in the Hall of Fame for guys like that. That's fine. Who put Jim Plunkett in there, too. He won two Super Bowls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not a Hall of Famer, man. And these New York
people.
Yeah,
you just wonder if that Northeast bias is going
to push him on through. He's getting in. I think he's getting in.
I have a hard time because I like Eli.
I don't mind him.
It's the fans themselves who are just like full-throated. Of course he's a Hall of Famer.
We'll get to them. Don't worry.
He's as good as judges in the playoffs. What's that?
Number three.
No,
he's
good in the playoffs.
Hang on. Let's not get ahead. Number three, five reasons I hate you. Daniel Jones' stupid bug-eyed look that he has on his face all the time.
It's not bug-eyed. It's crazy-eyed.
Yeah, crazy-eyed. Yeah.
Got a little bit of the, I don't know if he's smart enough to be a serial killer, but he's got a serial killer look about him
He just looks like a dope. How did this guy get $160 million? Right, Seth's doing, if you're watching on the YouTube, Seth is doing his best Daniel Jones impersonation right now.
He's got like that Adam Gase thing going on sometimes.
Big time.
You know?
Big time, yeah. Big time. That's number three. Number two.
Like he just got abducted by aliens in the bright light, and he doesn't know where he is, and all of a sudden the bright lights got shown in his face.
Right. Yes.
And he's just learning about the anal probe he's going to get.
He looks like he got a lobotomy. It's weird. Number two. This is a fan base, the New York Giants, and an organization that worships someone who routinely gets popped for forgetting to register as a sex offender when he moves.
Routinely?
Routinely. It's not the first time that Lawrence Taylor, NFL legend and former New York Giants star, he was arrested in Florida earlier this summer, back in July, and charged again with failing to report a residence change as a sex offender. He was arrested in 2010 for some horrible things, rape and prostitution charges, and he was able to kind of plea his way out of it. And he got 6 years probation, avoided jail time, but has to register as a sex offender anywhere that he lives as his primary residence. And this is not the first time this has happened. It's happened before. And his lawyer's like, oh, Lawrence is a good guy. His lawyer was quoted, as with the previous incident, with the same allegations, Mr. Taylor did not knowingly commit any criminal offense. This situation is a significant misunderstanding. Well, of course, he didn't knowingly forget to do something. That's, you don't knowingly forget to do something. You just forget to do something.
I'll tell you what. I would be awful at that.
Registering as a sex offender?
That, you talk about social anxiety. Oh, jeez. Oh, you got to go and do you still have to, like, I always feel bad. I feel like maybe this is antiquated, or maybe it was only ever just for Hollywood. Like, do you actually have to go door to door and tell people? Because I feel bad for those families. I'm like, all right, send me a letter or something, but like, don't have the sex offenders show up at my door telling me.
Let me ask you this.
Like, I'd prefer just not to. I'd like to know that he's there, but not have to converse with him.
Let me ask you this, and we're going to get to number one in just a second. If we ask somebody to clarify for that on the text page, if you have to do what you just said, go door to door, what are the chances that the person says, hey, I'm a sex offender? And yes, you do. Or is it someone saying, I'm a lawyer? Like, how many, what's the ratio of lawyers to actual sex offenders that we get on the text page?
I think there's a lot of sex offenders that can't be springing for the hourly fee for a lawyer to go around and do it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, I'm just talking about the lawyer texting.
I got you. Yeah. I misunderstood. Yeah. So the people that will give, nobody's going to be like, hey guys, registered sex offender here. That is, you know. Especially Lawrence Taylor. He would never identify himself on the text line. There's I'm a Lawrence Taylor, Hall of Famer, all-time great football
it's
player.
It's LT here.
Oh, is that all, LT? Right. Is that all?
That's all you're famous for?
Okay.
Number one, Five Reasons I Hate You, New York Giants. These are the same fans who root for the Yankees, who I would say, if I'm the Astros and I'm listing arch rivals, to me it's some permutation of Dodgers, Yankees, Rangers. Like it's some mix of those three. And these are the same people that root for the Yankees. These are the same people that Seth had to sit next to at what, like a Little League game or something, and listen to dad and his son like a few years ago?
Yeah, and that one, it was funny. It was the exact opposite of the impression I just did, because this kid was bemoaning the fact that Aaron Judge wasn't even a good baseball player. He was like the Yankees must have been in a rough stretch or something, or whatever. Like, oh, just, he sucks. He's not even, like, I don't even know why, what the big deal. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I can't get into an argument with this kid and be the person explaining to him that, no, Aaron Judge is really good in the regular season. But he's just, he's pathetic. He does not live up to his standard or his billing in the postseason.
But what did the kid's dad say to him, Seth?
He's actually pretty good. You know, believe it or not, he's actually pretty good.
He's the Judge is an all-star.
And I'm like, jeez, dude, no. Like, what the hell are you, like, what kind of a fan are you?
He's actually, I remember you saying, Judge is an all-star.
He's actually an all-star, believe it or not. That's right, that's what he said,
He's an all-star.
He's an all-star.
Believe it or not, that's what it was. Believe it or not, I'm like, like, he sucks in the postseason, but he's really good at baseball. Do you have any that you want to add? I always like the
Oh, yeah, this bonus. Is the city that killed John Lennon. Let's not forget that. All right? They killed John Lennon, and now Daniel Jones has gone off and shacked up with his own personal Yoko Ono.
Oh, so, parallels.
Yeah. If you like the Beatles, you're not allowed to like the Giants.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, they're in the New Jersey Giants, but still, they call themselves the New York Giants.
Right.
They choose to affiliate themselves with the city that killed John Lennon.
Dude, Kay Adams is making me mad. I'm so mad at myself that I didn't sniff out what you did with Kay Adams and what she does on these trips.
That she butters everybody up, says they're the next greatest thing.
Yes,
yeah.
She tweeted this about the Broncos yesterday. I'm pulling it up right now. She just left Broncos camp, so she talked to Sean Payton and Cortland Sutton, and she got to watch Bo Nix and put out a bunch of pictures. I mean, she's doing her job. She's amazing at her job. But this whole vibes are mountain high, all eyes on Bo. There's a happiness, a guardedness, grateful to come visit the Broncos ahead of the coronation.
The coronation?
Coronation of who?
How many Super Bowl champions has she predicted? Oh, the coronation of Bo Nix.
Who can? Yeah, duh. Yeah, that's still Bo Nix.
This is, you know what's funny is, I guess I saw James Palmer yesterday, apparently got into it with some radio hosts in Denver, like in a friendly way. They were having an argument about it, but the people are upset. Tell me if this sounds familiar. People in Denver are upset that they haven't named Bo Nix the starter yet. And because you got to name him the starter, you just got to, like they did with Bryce Young.
Yeah.
You can never do exactly what the Texans did with C.J. Stroud and make him earn the position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, a lot of people here got agitated about that last year with C.J. They were wrong. Yeah, Bo Nix, the coronation. Okay. All right. Guardedness. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Major League Baseball, I think the new rules they put in a year or so ago have largely been really good. Don't try to get too cute, Major League Baseball. That's all I'm going to say, and we'll tell you what they're trying to do, possibly down the road, coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth, my wife is texting me prices on tickets in the Crawford boxes tonight. I think she wants to go to the Astros game. Call me crazy. I'm sniffing this out. I think Amy's wanting to go to the Astros game tonight.
Garrett Crochet versus Spencer Arrigetti.
It's the clash of the Titans.
If you're gonna see a Chicago White Sox game, you might as well go out and see where they have the guy who is the belle of the ball in one of the most expensive free agency for pitchers markets there's been in a while. He'll be pitching versus Spencer Arrigetti. The guy who looks... Spencer Arrigetti is giving you what you would have hoped to have gotten out of Garrett Crochet, I think. That's how good Spencer Arrigetti has been
as of late. Two starts, for sure. Does he get 12 strikeouts? Dude, this is an optimal chance to keep that 12-plus strikeout streak going. He's going against the White Sox. You and I could bat like 7th and 8th in that lineup right now.
This thing about Garrett Crochet... The last, because remember, like they were worried about his usage.
Yeah,
he has not gone more than 4 innings in his last 5 starts. So he's been like they've been managing it. They've been using him as an opener, basically.
Yeah,
he's gone 2 innings, 4 innings, 3 innings, 4 innings, 2 1/3 innings.
Okay,
so we won't see a whole lot of Garrett Crochet tonight.
Okay, well, you know what, world Garrett Crochet, man, we're doing a good job today of just bringing things up that segue perfectly into what we were going to talk about. You know what, world Garrett Crochet would not be able to exist in the future, in which Major League Baseball is reportedly weighing a 6-inning requirement for starting pitchers. Did you see this?
No.
Six inning. So according to an article on ESPN.com, an ESPN report, Major League Baseball is kicking around the idea of requiring starting pitchers to work at least 6 innings a game, 6 innings in a start. So if you start a game, you got to stay in for 6 innings, and there are exceptions. I know people are going to be like, all right, what if they're up to 175 pitches? Not everybody's Nolan Ryan. The caveats are you can yank a pitcher after 100 pitches. You can yank a pitcher after he gives up 4 runs or more, or if he has an injury. But if you yank him because of an injury, then there's talk that he would have to do a mandatory stint on the injured list.
That part, at least, I think, if they were going to do this, I'm glad that that's one of the requirements, because you don't want people faking injuries out there. It would be very easy to game the system and say, oh, God, my elbow hurts. This is just like with the pitch clock. This is what I worry about, where, you know, UCL, Tommy John injuries are becoming way more common, and it's not something you can pin on the pitch clock immediately, because the trend has been going this way for a long time.
Yeah.
But I worry about the fact that with the pitch clock, maybe when a guy starts to feel a little bit of discomfort, he's fighting through it more so than he would have in the past, where maybe before he could have just maybe sit and start to kind of assess his body over the course of a couple pitches, where now he's just going to motor on through something.
Yeah.
And theoretically, that's my little pet fear theory, that you might end up with more injuries that way. Astros have had some injuries this year.
Yeah.
At pitcher. So I guess that's what I would worry about, is like, all right, well, if it's, man, I'm not really sure, and maybe I can power through this, but I don't want to miss my next start. Do you guys stop, you know, kind of being as self-aware, or do they push through recklessly through some things that they shouldn't be pushing through?
Yeah, it's a weird, dude, it's a weird, to me, it's two things. One, it's weird that they would talk about doing something like this in a world where they've never had more guys having to get Tommy John surgery. And now you're talking about guys having to, they can't get pulled from a game unless they've either given up four earned runs or thrown 100 pitches. That's just, it's almost like football going with thinner helmets. Well, you know?
Well, there are some people who say, like, if you went back to soft helmets, there wouldn't be nearly as many collisions and guys wouldn't use their helmets as weapons.
Yeah.
Now, it gets complicated there because the whole reason they started using hard shells is because skull fractures were more of an issue back in the day. So, yeah, we'd cut down on maybe long-term damage, but we'd have more guys getting literally brained.
Yeah.
Bear with me here. Okay. If they have to go six innings, though, then I think there's a chance that guys would start throwing more off-speed stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
And more breaking stuff. More, and I know curveball is a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
More change-ups. Or just try to throttle it down a little bit. You know, like Verlander's really good at going deep into games, partly because he doesn't always give you the full gas early in the early innings.
Like a marathon.
He pours it on when he needs it. Yeah. So I wonder if maybe they think, all right, if guys know they have to go six innings, they're going to give you more. And then it brings maybe back a little bit more of artfulness and strategy to pitching instead of just trying to gas people up all the time.
Maybe. It might result in more offense, too, which could be longer games. I don't know if I'm wild about that. Now, according to the ESPN report, one of the reasons they've talked about doing it is, I'll call it marketing, that for the last several years, Major League Baseball has grappled with the idea that it wants starting pitchers to be much more of a main character type of player. Like you and I growing up, Seth, like starting pitchers routinely pitch deep into games. The complete game wasn't this outlier anomaly that it is now, where we've got a world where you can count on two hands how many complete games we've had across baseball this year.
It used to be impressive if a guy had a boatload of complete games.
Yeah.
Where now it's like, oh my gosh, he pitched a complete game.
If you came in on Monday and said, I saw a complete game this week, and people are like, BS, no you didn't, stop it. But here's my counterpoint to that is that, okay, so we're requiring guys to pitch six innings, with part of the reasoning being, hey, if we get these guys pitching six innings on a routine basis, they're going to be viewed more as main characters. We can market the games a little bit more as so-and-so versus so-and-so on the marquee. You know what I mean? Yeah. This guy versus that guy. And what I would say to that is, look, you are way overestimating how much the average fan cares about every pitcher in baseball. They care about the marquee pitch, they care about the Verlanders, and I'm just going to name Astros, but like the Verlanders, the Frombers, the guys like that. On other teams, the Garrett Coles, the guys like that. Go look at the game logs of those guys. They're already pitching six innings on a routine basis. You don't need a rule to have the good pitchers go six innings. Other than Blake Snell, they go six innings right now.
But man, I'll tell you what though, it would be more offense for sure.
Yeah.
Because there's so many guys that are really good the first two times through the rotation, through the batting order, that fall apart in the third or fourth time through the batting order. So I think you'd get more offense. I know you're saying that maybe the games are going to be longer. Major League Baseball, they did want to shorten the time of the game, but the big thing and one of the huge reasons for a lot of the rule changes, it was more so they want more activity per minute of game played.
Yeah.
So even if the games end up being a little bit longer, there's more activity, there's more traffic, there's more balls in play.
Yeah.
And there's this perception that really the pitching has gotten so good with all the benefit of the pitch shaping technology and all that it's really hard for batters to compete like it used to. So it kind of levels the playing field a little bit between the pitchers and the batters.
No, that's a great point. I guess my whole thing about the games being longer, 90% of it is me coming at it from somebody who has to get up at 4:15 in the morning to do a radio show. I'm just being completely honest. Like I like these shorter games just because it's better for my quality of life. I'm being completely selfish in that.
I like it because Blake Snell would never again win a Cy Young, I don't think. He would. Blake Snell would, in his limited usage at times,
he would never
screw Justin Verlander out of a Cy Young again.
I bet someone gets a microphone in his face and gets his take on this at some point in the next 24 hours.
And Blake Snell will give you. He pitched a complete game earlier this year.
Through a no-hitter, weeks ago. A complete.
It's not
game
like
no-hitter.
He can't do it,
right.
But it's just that you look at it and routinely, like, the majority of starts are six innings or less.
Yeah.
So all those ones that are less than six innings, he'd have to power on through.
That was so
and
funny.
I'd love to see how that adds up over the course of time.
That was what was funny about the no-hitter afterwards. He's like, "Well, I just wanted to prove to everybody that I'm not just this five-inning pitcher." I'm like, "Oh, cool, you did it once."
Cool, you pitched 180 innings last year, you know? Like, it just, great.
Yep.
Yeah, you're a real horse.
Mm-hmm.
Regular Cal Ripken of the pitching world, you are.
A text message, is Corey Jolks going to get a tribute video tonight at the Astros game? Or Corey Lee? We got two Coreys on the team. Mm-hmm. Corey Jolks and Corey Lee. Give it both to them. Like 15 seconds for each of them. White Sox in town tonight to take on the Houston Astros. All right. Awkward sideline interview. This might have been one of the more awkward ones that you're ever going to hear. This was from the Patriots and the Eagles last night. We're going to get to that. Oh. And take a look ahead to the weekend of preseason. They give a reason. CBS gives a reason to watch each of these games this weekend. I want to roll through these. Is this enough to get Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast to watch these games while the Texans are not playing this weekend? We'll do that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.